Hey, good evening. So this week we're going to be discussing the concept of davar charif, sharp, literally sharp foods with a very strong, or I should say vegetables with a particularly strong taste. So we're going to start on page 161. And just to give us a little bit of a sense of where we're going from here, next week I will be on vacation, so there won't be a shiur next week. But in the coming weeks, we'll be discussing things related to glatt kosher, halachic issues related to fish, blood, insects and worms and the like. So that's going to take us through this volume. We'll probably finish that end of February, beginning of March, depending on some factors. And then from there, volume 5, has some more kashrus items, but we'll already be getting close to Pesach. And volume 5 has things related to kashering. So that is in the volume, not as a Pesach thing, but I think will be useful for Pesach. And then there's an actual shiur on Bedikas Chametz in that volume as well. So we'll probably start sort of beginning of March on volume 5, discussing things related to kashering for Pesach and some actual hechos. Pesach itself. So that gives us a little bit of a sense of where we're going in the next couple of months. So last couple of weeks, we discussed the concept of nat bar nat, of secondary taste. And so when you have, let's say, a part of a food that's cooked or comes in contact with a meat utensil, a dairy utensil, so we talked about what to do there. But where things get a little bit more complicated is if the taste, and here we're going to be focusing particularly on certain fruits and vegetables. So there's a limitation to which we can say that if the taste transfer is like a secondary taste transfer, that the taste isn't imparted, right? So there's a little bit of a limitation here. So if we look at the Gemara in Chulin, source 18, Gemara says, "Marchiskiya mishim Abaye." Chiskiya says the name of Abaye. Hilchasa. It's known shechatcho besaki and shechatach ba basar. They cut a radish with the knife that I used to cut a meat. So it's forbidden to eat it with dairy, with kutach. Behanimile, it's known the agav korfe bala. And that's specifically talking about a radish because due to the sharpness of the taste, it absorbs the fat from the knife. So what we have here, a couple of noteworthy things. So first of all, obviously sharpness, the strong taste of a vegetable is at play here. There's also mention of a knife. So we'll have to talk about what's going on there as well in terms of the utensil and what's going on with the knife. So Rashi explains that there are two possible...
We didn't talk about hot or cold in this sense. A cold knife or a hot knife.
So we're talking about a cold radish and a cold knife, right? At least, right. Right. So yes, they write that in the direction here, right? Even though the food and the knife are both cold, the taste is still imparted. So Rashi explains that there are potentially two reasons for this. And again, he clarifies that while we might say that, the radish didn't come in contact with meat and only came in contact with the knife, which had come in contact with the meat at some point. That's noting tam by noting tam. But there's two reasons why we have a problem here. So number one, so this is source 19. Number one, pamim shashmun is karish alave inor nikar. So maybe when it comes to a knife, so maybe there's a little bit of meat residue on the knife that's not so visible or discernible. So when you're cutting the radish, which already itself has a sharp taste, so then you're actually, then the radish is actually going to end up absorbing some of that taste. That's reason number one why we're stringent when it comes to the case of the radish. Number two, ve'od mishum chorfe balatve idagim harodchin. So remember before we had said that, if I had fish on a meat plate, I'm allowed to have that with dairy. But when it comes to the radish, so it absorbs more than fish does. The agav duchka disakina, because of the pressure of the knife expels the meat flavor and the radish absorbs. So there's two potential reasons why with a radish, and let's leave it at a radish for now. Two reasons why we might be strict that if I cut a radish with a meat knife, that radish gets the status of meat. Number one, because maybe there was some meat residue left on the knife and the radish is more likely to absorb it than something else. And also, because of the sharpness of the radish, so and the pressure of the knife, so the knife is going to expel flavor that the radish is absorbing. So the Shulchan Aruch codifies in Source 20 both of these ideas. So number one, Snon o silka she patucham b'sakin shel basar ben yomom, and that's a significant detail here. If I use a knife that's been used within 24 hours to cut a radish, and we're adding now beet, or
what are you beet is not sharp.
No, but the radish is, so it's going, so it's more likely to absorb the minute amount of meat taste that's there than other things. So either because it was, the knife was used within 24 hours, or if it wasn't wiped clean, so then I can't have that radish with dairy. And the Gemara explains in verse 21 that this is based on the two reasons given by Rashi. So again, the Shulchan Aruch is explaining that we assume that that a knife that's been used within 24 hours has the likelihood of imparting taste, and the radish or the beet is likely to absorb that. And it's especially an issue if perhaps the knife was not cleaned entirely, right? And maybe you would say in other situations, well, that meat is negligible and it's about the bashishim and the like, but because of the radish, we don't, because the radish is so sharp, we don't hold that way. Tony.
Yeah, can you just clarify again? It's the way it's written, a radish or a beet sounds like the beet is the same as the radish, rather than that it's absorbing.
They're both, they're separate cases, right? Either if you're cutting a beet or if you're cutting a radish. But you're using a meat knife. So then.
But a beet then you're saying is considered harif. I didn't think a beet was harif.
I didn't
know. The Shulchan Aruch is considering beets to be harif.
Okay.
Maybe it's the color. It has the color comes off and something.
What?
The redness comes around. Maybe
that's interesting. So yeah, I'm not an expert in the particularities of that, but that's what's brought in.
I just thought of something. Radish also includes horseradish, right?
Horseradish seems to be quite sharp.
And that's really sharp, right?
that's pretty sharp, I would say. So Shulchan Aruch, however, limits this situation to when the knife was used within 24 hours. Seems to be. So what about if the knife was not ben yomo? Let's say the knife was not used within 24 hours. If I cut an onion with the knife that's not ben yomo, so does that impart a meat taste? And normally, what if it hasn't been used within 24 hours? So we might say no tin tam lukam. We might say that whatever taste is imparted is bad. However, when it comes to sharp foods, maybe that's not the case. So the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, verse 22, says, "Elu dvarin sha'obdei kochavim asurim ve'en isuran isur hana'a." So these items that belong to Gentiles are prohibited. And it says, "Kort shel chiltis." If I have a sliver of chiltis, which is a type of herb, so I'm not allowed to have it. The presumption there is that herb was cut with a knife, a non-kosher knife. So we're assuming that the chiltis absorbed the non-kosher taste. So the Gemara asks the question, so why is it that the sliver of the chiltis is prohibited? Mishum de mafskele besakina. Because they used the knife to cut it. So even though we hold that, generally speaking, it has been used within 24 hours, so it should be permitted to have. However, Agav Horfe de Chiltisa, Mechayale Shmun Shamrunisa, the Havalekinosi Tam Lishvach the Aser. So when it comes to the sharpness of the chiltis, and obviously this would apply to onions, rashes, or actually I shouldn't say that. Let's leave it at the possibility that because of the sharpness of the chiltis, so it actually the meat flavor becomes enhanced because of the sharpness of the chiltis. So the non-kosher flavor becomes enhanced. If I use a non-kosher knife to cut the chiltis, that becomes a problem because it's, even if the knife hasn't been used within 24 hours, because it's actually it's imparting taste and it's enhanced taste. So on page 164, source 24, there is a discussion about whether this applies specifically to the chiltis, example given in the Gemara, or if it applies to other, or whether it applies to other vegetables as well. So in the Sefer HaTruma, it says, "Dafilu ena sakin ben yoma asur de agav korfet etznon oyer mechalile mechalia vehave l'shvach kedamrin gabe korcho chiltis." So the Sefer HaTruma says that it seems to apply to a number of vegetables that are sharp. But the Maharam says that dafka bekorcha chiltis. It's only specifically when it comes to chiltis that we say that davar chabrif is problematic. But let's say onions, maybe not. So the shulchan, and when specifically when we're talking about a knife that was not ben yoma, when it's when it has been used within 24 hours, the shulchan aruch rules in source 25, snono silka she. So if I cut a radish or beets or onions or pickles or lemons with a knife that has been used within 24 hours, and it's a meat knife, so I can't have that with dairy. Leave it at that for a second. And some say that applies to a clean, that applies even to a clean knife that hasn't been used within 24 hours. So Shulchan Aruch seemingly seems to say that that while when it comes to radish or beets or whatnot, so if I cut them with a meat knife that was used within 24 hours, then that item is going to be considered meat. But if it hasn't been used within 24 hours, it seems like it's not considered meat. Right. So even though the Shulchan Aruch has two opinions, it seems like he would really hold by the first one.
What about the issue of cutting the peeling off? You mentioned in.
So I'll come back to peeling in a little bit. So with that said, the Shulchan Aruch seems to later on, in a couple of Sifim, codify that if you have spices that were crushed in a Ben Yomo meat mortar, so then you can't have them with dairy, which seems to imply that Rav Yosef Karo, in the Sephardi Hosek, holds that that the issue of Davar Chariv only applies when the knife has been used within 24 hours. Okay, so again, you know, if I cut an apple with a meat knife, so that you know, even if it's been used within 24 hours, that apple is not going to be considered meat. But if I cut a lemon with a meat knife that has been used within 24 hours, that lemon becomes meat. But if the knife hasn't been used within 24 hours, it's not considered meat, according to Rav Yosef Karo. That said, the Ramah writes in source 27, "Ish omer mafilu eno ben yom." So even if it hasn't been used within 24 hours, it is the davar charif still absorbs meat and becomes meat. So. So
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Those who hold it, you can have, let's say, a plain coffee. I just lost you. A plain coffee by in Starbucks, but then you would not be able to have, let's say, a tea and ask them to slice lemon in it because they would be cutting the lemon.
Yeah, you can have one.
Yeah, that would be potentially an issue unless you know that knife that's cutting lemons is only used for lemons, right? Which I don't know Matthias in every store, but sometimes with stores, they're actually very strict about what they use which knives for because of, you know, allergy reasons and the like. So if you had a reason to think that that knife was only used for lemons, you probably wouldn't have a problem. But
if I without that knowledge, then you're right. I don't think I'd get a straight answer. You know, they remind me.
What?
If you go into a Starbucks, you know, I don't know if you could rely on them giving you the right answer.
No,
maybe you could, because maybe for legal reasons, you know, if you said that you were like lactose intolerant or something like that, then like, you know, they might have a legal reason to tell you that it's either fine or it's not fine. But
Okay,
so let's just get a couple things straight. So cut with the Ben Yomo meat knife. So I'm just trying, you don't have to take notes on this, but I'm not testing you on this, but I thought it might be helpful to chart out. So if I cut a davar harif with a ben yomo meat knife, so the davar harif is considered meat, right? The knife has been used within 24 hours. It's davar harif. It's considered meat. So if ben yomo meat knife,
it's fleshic, but it's not meat. It's not. It's, you don't have to wait 6 hours.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. If I cut an onion with a non ben yomo meat knife, it has been used within 24 hours. Shulchan Aruch says the davar harif is still harif. The Ramah, and they add here that this is the ruling of Kaf HaChaim, which is a relatively contemporary, modern party posek, says that the davar harif is meat in this case too. Now, the Sefer Kashrus in source 28 says that if it's a knife that hasn't been used within 24 hours and there is a hefsin meruba involved in sh'as hadachak, so let's say there's a situation where, you know, where there's, it's like a caterer preparing for a wedding and, you know, they're making like industrial sized, soups. And if they have to get rid of all the food, then, you know, then they're not going to have any food for the wedding, you know, that kind of situation. So then we might say in that case, you know, if the knife wasn't used within 24 hours, then we have what to rely on. But lechatchila, we certainly, for Ashkenazim, should be concerned for the Ramah that says that a meat knife that has not been used in 24 hours would impart a meat taste. Rav Avadia Yosef says that makes a distinction between a knife that's used for chazer and a knife that the situation where we're talking about meat and dairy. So if let's say you have a knife that was used for chazer and you cut an onion with that, so you should not have that onion, right? We would consider that even if it was cold, even if it has been used within 24 hours, you should not have that onion. When it comes, but if the knife was merely meat and it has been used within 24 hours, so then I could probably have that with dairy, right? So meat knife doesn't cause onion to become meat, but a non-kosher knife would impart a sort. Okay. So this is what we have so far, right? If the knife has been used within 24 hours and you cut an onion, a lemon, a pickle with it, that item is now the same gender as the knife. If it has been used within 24 hours, so the Ramah would suggest that we should still treat it as meat. On page 166, the Ramah notes that it's one thing when it comes to knives, but when it comes to cooking, if I'm cooking in a pot, so then it doesn't make a difference whether or not it's been used within 24 hours. It's like if I cook an onion in a meat pot, whether or not that pot has been used within 24 hours, we assume that the onion has been, right? So with the knife, the situation is the pressure of the knife causes the item to absorb, but it's not hot. Whereas like when you're cooking an onion in a hot meat pot, it doesn't matter whether or not it's been used within 24 hours, we have a problem.
You know, when you're cutting also, you could cut off a piece and use the rest of the onion.
Right. Okay. So that's going to be the sort of the next thing we talk about. But before I go any further, I also want to note, of course, that what we're talking about here is specifically with knives. So I will tell you a shiloh that was asked recently by my future sister-in-law. So she asked me, I made the pickled onions. Okay, so it was onions with vinegar, very harib. I had it in a par plastic container. My roommate just took some with a cold meat fork. It's probably been more than 24 hours, but not sure. What's the status of the container and the fork? The answer is nothing was really affected because it's only a knife that matters. But if she took an onion with a fork, so the rest of the onions do not become meat. That's something I confirmed with the posting. Right? It only matters if it's a knife that's pressing into it. Okay. So the next issue that comes up, and again, for the rest of the time, we're going to be talking about things really related to cutting things as opposed to cooking things. So what happens if I do cut an onion or a lemon with a meat knife? So does that entire onion and lemon become meat? Or is there room to say that maybe only part of it does and I can do a little bit of surgery to rectify that? So there are three possibilities that are going to be found in the Rishonim. So one is that the entire food is affected. The other is there's a concept of what we call kdei netila, which means that you have to take, let's say, the thickness of a thumb. You have to remove that amount that was affected. Obviously, you know, you have to know where you cut it, and you have to remove the equivalent of a thumb's worth from that item, and then the rest of that item will be fine. And then there's the idea of kdei klipa. Klipa means to peel. So that means that I just need to like peel the item that was the part that was cut with the meat knife, and then the rest of it is fine. We have all these opinions found in the Rishonim. So on page 167, the Ran quotes the Ravid. Ravid is often known as the rabbi who argued a lot with the Rambam, but he wrote on other areas as well and has commentaries in his own right. So the Ravid says that it seems like that you only need to remove a klipa. It's not sufficient with klipa. Tzarich netilas makom. You need to remove again like about the equivalent of a thumb's worth from that food. That's what the Ravid says. The Rashba says that because of the sharpness, osir es kulo, it renders the whole thing forbidden. So again, if I cut an onion with a meat knife, according to the Ravid, I need to remove netilas makom. I need to take take out a section about the size of a thumb. According to the Rashba, the entire thing is the entire onion becomes meat. And according to the Rush, in source 32, it's known mavliya ha shimnunis besofo veoser ad kedei klipa. Rush says you only have to peel off the part that was affected, and the rest of it is fine.
So we have these three opinions. What if it's a long item like a scallion, and you have one end? What's the thinking that the whole thing becomes affected? You're not going to go anywhere near the end, the other end. Something like that. An onion, of course, has a ring.
I'm not entirely sure. It could be that depends. I want to look into this a little bit more carefully. It could be that it does depend on the item. Whereas, you know, for example, you know, even though the Rush only requires klipa, but let's say you've already cut everything into, you know, let's say you were like dicing onions and they're all in small pieces. So then you're going to have bigger problems. You can't just like, you know, you can't just like peel something off there. So it could depend on the item. And it could be that. But again, it seems that even, you know, according to the Rashba, that, you know, we're not talking about that you cut something that's very small, right? It could be that it's a big item, and nonetheless, it still prohibits the whole thing. But I want to look into that a little bit more. So Shulchan Aruch rules that you need netilas makom, like what the Ravid said. You need to take, and he says that shehuke ovi etzba. You have to remove a piece that has a thickness of a finger. Or if you taste it and you determine that there's no taste of meat, then maybe you rinse it and that's enough. But the Ramah comes and says that if you cut a radish with a knife that was used for chazer, so then the whole radish becomes prohibited. And likewise, if you cut the radish with a meat knife, so you may not eat it at all with dairy. So the Ramah is stricter again than the Shulchan Aruch is. He says that's lechachilo, but b'diavad, it's enough to remove kedei netila. You have to remove again the you have to remove an amount that's equivalent to the thickness of a finger. And likewise, he says makom she'en yimtza, the next page, makom she'en yimtza liknos rak hatuchim b'sakin. Maybe if for some reason, let's say you can't acquire, you can only acquire vegetables that have already been pre-cut, because presumably I don't know if we're talking about by non-Jews here. But in that case, we'd be lenient and allow you to take a kilos makom, and that would be sufficient. So that's what the Ramah also adds, that when it comes to, spices, you're allowed to eat spices that belong to Gentiles, such as ginger, because they use special utensils, to grind the spices. That you know that there's no prohibited substance on the on the grinder. Okay, so Yalkud Yosef, Rav Avadya Yosef, confirms, read this in English, concerning a radish or beet that was cut with, I need to move here, concerning a radish or beet that was cut with a ben yomo meat knife, it is forbidden to eat them with dairy until one takes a kedei netila from the place of the cut, which is about the thickness of a finger, or one tastes it and does not have the taste of meat, in which case it is permitted with rinsing. So he confirms that that's the Sfardi Psak. So the Shulchan Aruch in source 35, source 36, provides a method for koshering a knife that was used with a davar harif, and involves thrusting into the ground, in a hard place, et cetera. So you can read what the Shulchan Aruch says, but just to get practical, Sefer HaKashrus, the contemporary Sefer HaKashrus, says that when something requires this method, one should clean the knife well and then pour hot water on it. In other words, you can really do Hagala instead of sticking the knife into the ground if it comes in contact with here's talking about a case where you have a knife that you're purchasing from a non-Jew, and you want to use it for vegetables, and that's the method for doing it.
But that knife is not a knife that has a wooden handle, correct? You can do a go on.
Right. I think you're correct.
It has to be completely metal.
I think you're correct about that. Okay, in terms of waiting before having dairy, so let's say I cut an onion. I do cut an onion with a meat knife that's been used within 24 hours. So if I eat that onion, do I have to wait for dairy? So the Ramah seems to say that if there's no meat in a particular cooked dish, so then just that it was cooked in a meat dish, then you're allowed to eat dairy right afterward. So Akiva Eger explains that that we're talking about a davar harif. So if I eat an onion that was cut with a meat knife, I'm allowed to have dairy right afterwards. I don't have to wait 26 hours. Sefer Kashrus agrees with that. Chuvos the Hagos of Rav Sternbach says that it's proper to use a parv knife for radishes and other sharp foods for this reason. That would seem to be sort of an obvious solution to a lot of this, is to really try to use parv knives to cut everything, so that you don't have the issue of cut the onions for a French onion soup with a dairy knife, but accidentally use a meat knife. So you can avoid all of that by using only parv items. The next thing I discussed, and this will bring us to the end, is the cutting surfaces. So we mentioned this idea of duchka de sakina, that the pressure that comes from cutting the sharp food with the knife contributes to the taste of it. But that's not just about the knife, that's also about the friction with the surface, right? Both are sort of playing into that. So indeed, the Chachmas Adam explains, I'm just reading in English to, I'm going to go to source 42 on page 172. This is fairly straightforward. This is the Sefer Davar Chari, a whole Sefer that was written just about these scenarios that we're talking about here. Again, here we're really only scratching the surface, but I'll read in English. Some Acharonim write that when cutting the Davar Chari, there's pressure not only from the knife, but also from the plate or the cutting board for that, upon which the Davar Chari is cut. As through the cut, the Davar Chariv is pressed on top of the plate is a meat one, the food becomes meat, and if it is dairy, the food becomes dairy, and if it is non-kosher, the food becomes forbidden. So when it comes to Davar Chariv, we said before that, let's say a fork, I don't really have to be concerned about, but if I'm cutting something with a knife, let's say the knife is part, but the plate or the cutting board underneath is a meat cutting board or dairy cutting board, so then that onion is going to assume that status, okay? Goes on to say, therefore, it is proper to be careful that when one cuts a davar charif with a meat knife, whether it is ben yomo or not ben yomo, one should not cut it on a dairy plate, whether that plate is ben yomo or not. Right. So you don't want to have any mixture of a meat knife and a dairy plate or a dairy knife and a meat plate when you're dealing with davar charif. So after the fact, it was cut with a meat knife or on a dairy plate. So the opinion of the gedolim is, of the gedolei haora is, to be lenient that the utensils are not forbidden, even if both are ben yomo, and similarly the food is not forbidden. After the fact, there's room to be lenient if it's a meat knife on a dairy plate or a dairy knife on a meat plate. And likewise, bedieved, if it was cut with a parv knife on a dairy or meat plate, whether it is ben yomo or not ben yomo, one may be lenient concerning the parv knife that does not become a meat or dairy like the plate. So after the fact, the knife is not going to be affected by the plate, and the plate is not affected by the knife. But lechatchila, ideally, we're not using a dairy knife to cut an onion on a meat plate.
No, I cut a pineapple, let's say, on a meat plate. That makes pineapple meat.
Yes,
but I can still eat the dairy afterwards, right?
Correct. Exactly. Right. So we said that. We said that you can eat dairy afterwards, but the pineapple itself is meat, means it should not be used with a dairy item, and should not be eaten at the same time. Afterwards is fine, but same time not.
But cutting the pineapple,
or you cut the pineapple. Let's say even with a parb knife, but it's on a meat plate, on a meat cutting board. That pineapple becomes meat because the issue is not only the knife, but it's also the pressure coming from both the knife and the plate together.
What about if I make juice out of a pineapple?
Also would not have that with dairy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got a couple of excerpts here from something written by Rabbi Chaim Jachter of Teaneck, New Jersey. It brings up a couple of Davar Charif questions. So let's say an onion was cut by a clean Eino Ben Yomo milk knife, right? Has been used within 24 hours, subsequently cooked with meat. So do we say that the food is forbidden mixture of milk and meat, right? I cut an onion with a dairy knife, but then I use that onions to make chicken. So Revival Cohen of the Badei HaShulchan says that there are two opinions, and he seems to rule leniently that you have a few leniencies here, that that only a radish has the rule of Davar Charif. So we discussed earlier whether the category of Davar Charif is limited to the cases in the Gemara, or if it's more expansive. And then we have the possibility that these sharp items are subject to the same rules as everything else that's part. And the third possibility that Davar Charif doesn't apply to a knife that's Eino Ben Yomo, right? So if I used a milk knife to cut an onion and that has been used within 24 hours and then cook those onions with chicken. So maybe after the fact, if there's a need, so we don't have to worry about that. So, and then he brings a case about a blender. And the blender also, he seems to be lenient on that. So that's the issues of the Vachar, something to pay attention to. And there are leniencies available here, but that's something that we want to avoid where possible. Any final questions before we end for the night? Yeah. Right. Wishing everyone a good week, and Rishta Shem, see you on Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Okay.